Two people, one movie, so many opinions. Welcome to The Mandate.
Hey guys, what's up? It's John Wren here. I'm trying a new format for The Mandate this week. Hopefully it'll stick, because I think it's time to break up the monotony. We're 41 episodes into this. This week, my guest will be Leah Belardo. And we'll be covering the movie Booksmart, directed by Olivia Wilde, our new comedy that's been described as the female version of Superbad. I chose Leah, or I should say Leah chose me. She asked to be on this, in this particular movie, which is always great. Leah and I met last year when we had oddly enough, a friend that currently lives in Hawaii put us in contact with each other in regards to the fact that we were both being the crazy people, like the 0.0001% of the people in the world that will have ever done an Ironman. I met Leah up in Lake Placid last year. We both have a shared interest in animal rights, veganism, plant-based diet, whatever you want to call it, and doing this crazy sport called triathlons. Since I've become friends with her, I've become also an admirer of her. She is very dedicated to anything that she does. She constantly is posting new information about veganism, laws that are being voted, new products, whether it be makeup, clothing, hair products, food itself, restaurants she's been to. And she is meticulous about triathlons. I have learned and have come in contact with more products and I've gotten more training tips from her than I think I have from any pros. So I was more than honored to have someone that I can look up to come on this this podcast to discuss a movie. In the beginning of the episode, once this intro was done, we do discuss her quickly because we could talk about it for hours if we chose. We do discuss quickly her initial, what got her into veganism, why she chose triathlons, and how veganism works for triathletes. So if you're not fascinated by that, which I understand, you can skip the first 3 minutes and we can get into the movie review. But I think everyone should listen to it because it is always fascinating how people come to these decisions. I'm sure I'm not the only vegan involved with this podcast. I'm sure there's plenty of vegan listeners, and I'm sure there's some people that love running and, can relate into the triathlon stuff. For those of you who are new to the podcast, whether you came here because Leah posted, and I know that she's got a lot of friends and followers on the internet, so if you are here because of Leah and not because of me or the show itself, thank you anyway for coming. That's awesome. Make sure you check out the other stuff on CinePunks, not just The Mandate. We have two comic book based podcasts in The Flight Stuff and Tomb of Ideas. We have my favorite, no disrespect to any of the other podcasts, my favorite podcast on here is an all horror based called Horror Business. They cover rare, old, weird horror films that even I, as a horror connoisseur, sometimes I've never heard of these movies. So to hear two individuals that are greatly knowledgeable of horror films, that's what you should be listening to. You should be listening to Horror Business. I don't know what other horror podcasts are out there. You should listen to Horror Business. And then obviously we have a great creepy weird story told in podcast form in Black Sun Dispatches, and we have obviously the flagship podcast in CinePunks itself. Josh and Liam, the overlords, as I like to call them, of this website, cover a wide variety of movies and topics, and they have such a eclectic group of guests that are on there. It is a very fascinating listen, especially if you're of the Philadelphia hardcore and punk community, or if you're even a part of the Philadelphia film community. And I think it even also resonates to anyone that just loves music and film. So if you're here for The Mandate and this is the first time you're listening, make sure you check out all that other stuff. They are all great listens. Some of the podcasts are long, some of the podcasts are short like mine, but we welcome you to the CinePunks. Now we will go over to the episode. So I present to you Mandate Episode 41, Booksmart, with Leah Belardo. All right, Mandators, we're back after we settled, let the dust settle from Endgame, and I refused to see Pokemon the movie. I'm back with another fun-filled episode of The Mandate. We are here seeing Booksmart, which has been briefly described as the new Superbad. I am with a fellow vegan animal rights warrior, and also I can share in the fact that we've both crossed the finish line at an Ironman race, Miss Leah Bellardo.
Hello.
So Leah, why, because people tend to ask me, they're like, why do you do these crazy races? Like, they're a million in miles, like, why, before we get into the movie, I want to know, why triathlons?
Oh, that's interesting.
Like why triathlons specifically?
You know, this is going to be so cheesy. I heard about it on the Rich Roll podcast, and I thought it sounded fun, and I just figured I would try one. I didn't realize that I thought triathlons were just Ironmans, and then one time he was talking about a half Ironman, and I thought, oh, you could do a half version. So I went to my office that same day and looked one up that was in Syracuse. There's like a vegan restaurant in Syracuse I like, and the owner's people I know, and so I signed up for it and then thought it would be a good excuse to eat some good food. And then I realized it was the hardest half Ironman, I think, in North America at the time. So that was tough. But then I just got into it. Got bit by the bug. I'm sure.
There you go. That is the explanation. You do one and then you're stuck. And then you just keep doing. So, and because we're a progressive, website and everything, there's a lot of vegans that listen, like, in the hardest thing you're ever going to do, sum up why.
The hardest race I'm going
to
do?
No. Like, sum up, like, because people are always fascinated by, like, the veganism and stuff like that. Because I'm going to roll this into a combined thing. So maybe we can do it a double question. So I know you, it's a compassion thing. It's ethical.
Yeah.
Like, what started that?
Oh. I went vegan on a leaflet at a hardcore show.
Was it an Earth Crisis show?
It wasn't. But it was like when Earth Crisis, I think I saw Earth Crisis at Ozfest in like 1999 or 2000. I'd have to look up when they played Ozfest, but that was the first time I saw them. I know that's not hardcore, but I went to some shows. I was getting into music, and then I got a leaflet. I went on a website, like with the dial-up internet, when you have to like log in and like wait for hopefully no one's on the phone, and went to PETA's website, and that's how I became a vegan.
All right, now we're going to combine the two, because people are under the impression that vegans are weak, and now we have shared that we've both done Ironmans. How do you feel that the vegan diet benefits us, so to speak, for endurance athletes?
Well, I think it matches up, because I was a junk food vegan for many years, and I was a drinking alcohol vegan, and now I don't do any of that. And when I started changing my diet, I followed the Brendan Brazier Thrive book, and I became like a lot healthier, and I felt better about everything. And I think that Ironman and vegan diet like fit in really well because of the anti-inflammatory properties. And if you follow those types of whole food plant-based diets, you can really excel athletically.
Now, I'm going to obviously plug, you have a lot of like, you're much better at social media than I am ever. Like, you plug a ton of women's fitness stuff, like what is the brand you wear, the Conor?
Oh, Core Sports. Yeah. So I have a clothing, I work with a clothing company for bringing women into endurance sports.
Awesome. So, and this is stuff that, for the those of you who are listening right now, I'm going to give links and everything when you read the written portion of this. So I'm glad that someone of a different ilk is on this podcast, because normally it's just movie nerds, and I like talking to other people that have other things to bring to the table. So, in completely unrelated, we just saw a movie called Booksmart. What did you know before going into the film, like what this was about?
I saw the trailer when I went to see the movie Us, and I thought that the trailer looked hilarious. And then I told Matt, my husband, that I was like, this movie looks fantastic. I really would like to see it. And so he was just like, all right. And then I watched the trailer again today at work.
So are you a person that, like, does any kind of diving into films to, like, research, like, what it's about, like, who's in it, like, who directed it, all that stuff? Or do you just say, this trailer was good, I want to see this movie?
Yeah, just, like, the trailer was good, I want to see it. I'm also pretty bad with, like, knowing what celebrities, who is who, and what, if there are any, I don't know, people that were big names in the movie.
All right. There was only really one, well, two, I guess, Lisa Kudrow and Jason Sudeikis. So what did you expect going into the film? Like what was your expectations of, like, it, even if you have to use comparisons to other films?
I was expecting a lot of awkward moments, which were, you know, did follow through on that. And then the review that I had read was very much like a coming of age. Like, there was like a review on the trailer. It was like coming of age tale, like female super bad. And then one review said that there was no bullies and no real bad guy in the movie. So I thought all of those things were pretty true. And that was my impression going into the film.
Okay. I expected it to be the female super bad. And I honestly saw the trailer once and I was like dying. I don't even remember. Maybe it was Us that I saw that. And I was like dying watching that trailer. And I'm like, whenever that movie comes out, I don't even remember the name of it. I'm like, I'm going to see this movie. I just hoped, my only thing was going into it, I was like, I went back and watched Superbad recently, and while I think it's hilarious, and I love, like, vulgar comedy, I'm like, we need to get to, like, having a female version, like, having, being more progressive with movies and having a female version. I was like, that's really interesting to me. As a guy who has no idea, like, I have female friends that are always like, we're just as raunchy and disgusting as you guys are, like, and I was like, all right, cool, like, I'm hoping to get this with this movie. I thought that they did a good... Did you ever see the movie Blockers?
No.
Okay, so Blockers was kind of like the same... To me, Blockers was like the new American Pie, but told more from the girls' perspectives. They're all like, we're going to go get laid on prom night, which is exactly what American Pie was, only it was the guys talking about it.
Yeah.
And I thought it was good. It was the first time that, like, a gay character had a, like, a major role in it, and it wasn't thought of as a... Like, it was like, ooh, taboo. It was like, no, she's out. Who cares? Like, and I think that's good. I think that's a good thing that we're doing with movies. And I know that comedy is kind of a weird genre to do that with. Usually it's, like, dramas that address this. So I knew going into this film from the trailer that one of the characters was going to be a lesbian, and then it was just another female. So I was hoping Superbad, but not as, like, lowbrow, totally lowbrow as Superbad was, as funny as that was. So now that we've seen it, what were your feelings on the movie?
So I thought the inclusivity was almost seamless, whereas all the characters had different backgrounds and everything kind of melded, much like how a lot of like our lives are. Like, it was just a seamless transition. And then I thought that all of the teacher roles were funny, and that everything was pretty much like a smart, witty comedy.
Yeah, I can agree to that. I like that the high school was, I don't know if it was for you, but high school was awkward for me. And I think, although I can't relate to a high school person now because I've been out of high school for 18 years, I remember that, like, there's certain things that they did, especially at parties, because I went to a bunch of parties in high school, and just, like, there was, I felt like what Superbad and American Pie and even that movie Blockers do is that they really... It's not forced. It seems real. And I know that, like, Olivia Wilde, like, directed this, and she's older than we are. So, but they had this, like, natural, like, ability to capture what kids are, how they actually talk, how they joke with each other, the different, they, I think they nailed, like, I wouldn't say they didn't stereotype anyone, because it wasn't, like, nothing was over the top. Like, you're like, oh, that's a stereotypical Asian, that's a stereotypical, like, Hispanic person. Like, none of that was, offensive in any way, but I thought that they weaved that, like, people trying to find their identity, like, awkwardness that I went through in high school. And I think that, like, movies like Superbad, even American Pie to a degree, that movie Blockers and this, like, captured. And it didn't feel like someone sat down and was like, what are kids like today? Like, I think they really, it like flowed. At no point that I was like, this is cheesy.
Yeah, I thought the ending was a little cheesy. I thought the ending was a little cheesy, but that's okay. I thought the whole movie was adorable, and I the awkward moments really made me cringe, which, you know, means that it's good.
It's doing its part, yeah.
So I definitely was, like, cringing at some moments and, like, hilariously laughing at some. So I thought they did really hit the targets and keep everything very natural and flowing. There were a few, like, of the fantasy-type escapism scenes that traditionally, for me, I usually kind of disengage from, but I thought that they all made sense in the plot. And especially, like, I don't know, can we do spoilers?
Yeah, you can do spoilers.
Okay. And, like, the part where they're, like, on drugs and thought they were, like, dolls.
Yeah.
It was just, it takes a minute to step back and say, like, this makes sense. But then when they were walking out as regular people and not cartoons, like dolls, I was just really my favorite part to bring everything together between, like, the fantasy and then the reality of the situation. And then furthermore, when you think about whatever drug that they were on, it was slightly unrealistic that you would just kind of, like, snap back and, like, be pretty functional again, like, in such a short period of time. But I guess that they didn't really explain what it was. So that was, I guess, they...
A little bit of a suspension of belief.
Suspension of belief, exactly.
Yeah, it was just enough to give that bit, which I thought the doll stuff... Like, I'm with you. Like, It didn't, at first, the doll scene, because the doll scene was, like, really the first one that it was a step out of the way that the movie was provided. It was, like, out of character. And then there was, like, two more bits that were something similar to that. There was, like, a dancing sequence that I was, like, okay, that's what they're doing in this movie. Like, they're literally going into the girls' heads, and that's what they're showing. So I was, after the first one, like, now if I go back and watch it again, it'll be a thing for me. I don't know, like, I think it, I, one of the other things I thought it captured teen love, like, well, like, the first time stuff, and I can't speak for a female, I just know that what, like, my first experience, like, even making out with a girl was, like, I was, like, I don't have no idea what I'm doing, this is so weird, and I thought that the way that the first time scene in this film was shot was very much that, what are we doing here? Like, this is, like, we're half laughing, so I had to get the nerves off, like, I thought that was... They didn't make it raunchy. They made it feel like you said, there was, like, cringy parts. This wasn't cringy. I was just like, oh, I remember that. I remember that weird feeling the first time. It's like, it's almost goofy. Like, and I thought that they handled that situation very well. Like, this was a very smart comedy, even with, like, really, like, somewhat dirty. Like, it had a dirty sense of humor, but it was like elevated to have, like, It wasn't just raunchy for the sake of being raunchy. Like, there was, like, a purpose to it.
Yeah, I agree with you. And the making out scene was very accurate. I feel like accurate for high school.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, for sure.
All right, so we do. I don't know how much you've paid attention, and if there's any new listeners coming on here. We love puns, so the mandate also serves a double purpose, and we mandate how people see this movie. Do you think this is a film... Like, how do you think someone should see this film? Is this something that they should go out on a date to the movies with? Do you even think that it's worth seeing in the theaters? I know we had a bit of a discussion on the way out, so maybe you can appeal to, or you can speak to another audience that doesn't typically go to the movies. How do you feel? Is this a wait for TV type stuff? Like, how do you feel about this movie?
Well, I think that, like, for younger people who like to go to movies, definitely go and see it. I really enjoyed it. I think it would be good with, like, a bunch of friends, or maybe, like, a bunch of, like, for me, I would suggest this with a bunch of my girlfriends. We would have a great time seeing this in the theater. I don't know if. I guess, like, yeah, Mike, I think that you could go on a date and see this movie for sure. Because then there's a lot to talk about afterwards.
There's definitely.
Yeah.
And that's the beauty of the mandate stuff. I'm a little bit more of, like, I'll push my, you know, non-existent glasses back. I think this is a lot of fun. And it's in a certain circumstance, like you said, I think a group of girlfriends going to see this. Because this is definitely, everyone can watch this movie. But this is for girls, I think. Like, this you have more to relate to it than I ever will. But that's not saying that I didn't find this enjoyable, like, and funny and whatnot. And I think a group of friends going out to see this, like, you know, as part of their night is a great idea. If people are just looking for, like, an easy comedy, There are like blockbusters out that maybe that's the better choice to see in the theater and you can wait for this. But this is definitely not a movie to skip on. I would never say skip this movie. And however someone sees, I mandate that they actually see this film. Especially if they love movies, like all the generational movies. There's been movies since like the 70s that have done this like high school, college experience from Animal House to this. I think this is a movie that I mandate to see. If you are more of like, I need to go see blockbusters or get scared by horror movies, then maybe it's that would be the only way I would say skip it in the theaters.
This is also good for all the quirky people out there. Like, everyone is kind of weird.
That is true. You know. The leads are not your, they're not your, you know, the in crowd. They're the weirdos.
But what I liked about the movie so much is that they were the in crowd in this. I don't know what high school is like now.
High school is awful now.
Maybe it's cool to be kind of like weird and like have your own opinions on things and like dress different. And I don't exactly know because obviously I went to high school 20 years ago. But I thought this movie was pretty like good for people who are different.
Well, I think, you know what, to get on that, you know, I might, at least in like in certain areas, my high school is probably a lot more progressive now than it was 20 years ago. And I like that. I feel like, because in this, maybe it's a little bit of a fantasy that all these people just like, they didn't care like about people. I'm sure there's in this fantasy high school that is in this movie, there is a bully somewhere that they didn't give the time of day to show in the movie. But like, I feel like the youth today, I feel like the generation behind us is more progressive than we were when we were 18. We're getting progressive now. Or better, as we get older, we're learning more like, oh, that stuff that I did when I was 16 was terrible. Like, if I was 16 now, I'd smack myself. Like,
yeah.
I think that they have the benefit now that they're already there. And I think, and so to think that some school like this, maybe, I guess it's in California, isn't too far, there's probably schools that aren't too far off of that. I'm sure there's probably little bastards running around all over that place, but I feel like as a whole, the school it speaks, and maybe I'm just thinking too elevated on this one, but I think that the youth now is more progressive than we were when we were at that age. So this movie had that progression in there. Like, everyone was no one cared that the lead came out when she was in 10th grade. Like, it was just a thing. And I think that more and more, whether it be social media or whatever, like, I think that the kids today are a little bit more progressive than we were 20 years ago. So this would make sense that a movie would be more progressive than something like Superbad that even came out like 10 years ago.
This movie kind of reminded me of like a Can't Hardly Wait type movie, where there's a lot of unique and quirky people and they're all kind of like interacting together in this like last fling before going away.
Presto. There was none of that.
And then even in this film, like, the popular like lead guy character was still like talking about Harry Potter and like being kind of geeky too. So I don't know. I thought it was pretty
Can't Hardly Wait's actually a good comparison to this. Especially once they get to the party.
Yeah.
Like, Can't Hardly Wait's like whole movie is the party for the most part, but like I thought it was, especially when the girls split away from each other and you start to get the little bit of like how they're dealing with the part. Like, I thought Can't Hardly Wait's actually a really good comparison to this.
Yeah, the only difference being that I guess no one got arrested in Can't Hardly Wait, whereas this one was a little bit like they took it to the next level.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I also liked how there weren't that many scenes where people were on their cell phones. Though there was a few integrations with social media in the movie, but I thought it was interesting how, like, though Molly's phone battery died, and then Amy just left her phone with that pizza guy. And it was interesting how it wasn't just a whole movie of just people on their phones, which might be...
That might be the real stretch from reality.
Yeah.
Because we know... I mean, we could walk to the street corner and I'd see five people on their phone by now.
Yes, yeah, so that was interesting.
But maybe that's also something that they tried to slide in there. Like, hey, if you put your phone down, there's all these cool things that you get to see.
Yeah.
Because if I know, I mean, we didn't have the cell phones that they have today. Like, I had one of those, what is it, Nokia 5150s or whatever. Same. But when I was at parties, we were in the parties.
Yeah.
And so maybe that's them trying to say, hey, when you go to parties, just party. Like, maybe take a phone, like, you know, a Snapchat here or there, but, like, put your damn phone down.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty refreshing how there wasn't just a bunch of people on the phone. And then I also really enjoyed how there were sometimes in movies, everyone just seems super rich. And there were definitely a lot of people in this movie that seemed really wealthy. But then the lead character, Molly, didn't seem wealthy at all. Actually, I don't know what her parents, like, did she have parents?
Well, she does. We just never saw them.
We never saw them. So she seemed like she came from a kind of normal, didn't have a car, like...
She lived in an apartment complex.
Yeah, apartment complex.
And I feel like that apartment complex is in, like... I feel like I've seen that very apartment complex in, like, 50 movies.
Oh, wow.
Like, maybe I'm just, like, thinking that maybe in California there's, like, multiple apartment complexes that look like that. But I'm like, man, I feel like I've seen this, like, in, like, True Romance or something. But yeah, no. And even... Amy, her like family was more seemed middle class. Yeah. It wasn't like they actually joked and are like, oh great, here comes the 1%. Mm-hmm. Like at one point. So like they definitely didn't stretch it. Cause like, yeah, like you said, in every other like big movie, with the exception of Animal House, where they're like all like lowlifes. The other like party movies, like someone's like uber rich or everyone is uber rich. And they have this party that's like, on another level that we'll never see because where are we getting that money to have that type of a party?
Well, the theatrical party that they went to might have been like on that level.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the other party did have a pool, but I just felt like the main characters weren't like a Clueless type movie where they're super wealthy in California and whatever. I just thought it was more realistic where drive a beater car, you know, other person doesn't have a car.
Yeah.
So maybe they had friends that were wealthy, but they weren't. So I like that concept too, just to show that it seems pretty representative of how not everyone is really rich.
Yeah. No, and that's, I think that speaks to, it's like, it's realness. Like that was, I was talking about earlier, is I think that it captures like what it's really like to be a kid. Like,
now I'm thinking that one kid rented that boat. Maybe I'm taking
Well, no, he was the one. They actually called him the 1%, and he was like, they actually addressed that. They said, like, you can't buy friendships. Like, you can't do that.
Oh, you're right.
So I thought that was, like, interesting. Like, he didn't relate to people because he thought he had to pay for them.
Yeah.
And,
That's good.
Yeah, so I thought that was, like, that was also, like, another, like, you don't have to be rich to, like, have a good time.
I feel like on a rewatch, a lot more is going to come out. This seems like the kind of movie that you watch it a few more times and like more and more interesting things come up about it.
Yeah. Maybe. The team is fine. I was looking at because I didn't do much research into it because I've been having this thing where like I used to research like every movie. I wanted to know who was involved, what was the team, what movies were these other people in before. And now recently I've been, because I've had a few guests on that are like, I don't want to know anything. Like I watched one trailer and I put it away and I'm going to go see the movie and I don't want to know anything about it. I want to be surprised from literally the jump. And so I've been doing that a lot. I've been more or less backing off of looking into anything. But as I was watching the trailer or I was watching the credits, I saw that Olivia Wilde directed it. Jason Dacus was in it and helped produce it. Adam McKay and Will Ferrell were also behind it. So there's like these names that are like, they have their finger on the pulse of comedy right now. So I think that that team all working together, and the girl, the lead, she was in she's funny. She was just, I just saw her in Neighbors 2, like the sorority one where it's like the girls, like the sorority is like bothering Seth Rogen and his wife. So, and she's hilarious. And so like, and I think that she's another like modern comedian that knows. So like, there is probably a whole bunch of stuff that like even references that we didn't even catch, that that when we watch it a second time, we'll be like, oh, that's really funny, and we miss it, like because we were laughing at the last joke and that the new joke. I just think this movie ended up being a lot smarter than I thought it was going to be. I thought it was going to be like, I thought they were literally going to give us like the lowbrow humor that Superbad was, and it was just gonna be like, here's two girls, we're doing Superbad with two girls, and that's all it is. It was only about, we're gonna go to this party and we're gonna get laid and that's it, and that was essentially gonna be the story. And there was a lot more to it. Maybe with the cheesy ending was like the only thing that was overdone, but I was like, man, this was it kind of fit though, even though it was cheesy. Yeah. I was like, all right, I get it.
Yeah.
But
No, I'm glad that you wanted to see this movie and got me out to go see this movie. This was fun.
My favorite joke was the pizza guy thing. That was my I don't know what your favorite was. That was definitely hands down my favorite.
We're not going to spoil the pizza guy thing for you listening, because that's actually a really good bit. And so that is definitely something that when you see the pizza guy, pay attention, because it's fun. No, I want to thank you for coming out, and I'm wanting to be on this. Sometimes it's a little hard to get a guest on, and you were like, I want to see this movie. So that's great. So I'm glad you came on, and we'll have you back on. Like I said, if there's anything that you, if there's any like websites or anything like that you have found beneficial for like triathlons, veganism, just plant-based diets, whatnot, I'll have you give them to me, and we'll plug them on the website. And if you want, I don't know if you're open to having new followers on the gram.
Oh.
I will plug Leah's Instagram, because, like I said, she is constantly updating with like good stuff for like triathlons. Like I'm always watching her stories to be like, what is she doing today? So if you are interested in triathlons, follow her, not me, because I'm an idiot. So we will. I'm gonna get out of here. I don't know what my next movie is. It might be Ma, but if it's not, I'll surprise you. So again, thanks, Leah, for coming on.
Thank you. This was fun.
Yeah. And I will see you when I see you.